prayer is important, but then he goes on, he says the supply of the Spirit. So what does this kind of mean? So the Spirit is what enables us to go on and to battle with these things and to endure these things. I'm living according, talking about Revelation on Wednesday nights, and we see the seven spirits of God that are thrown out, or not thrown out, but they're working in the world. All of those things. Now, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit. You were filled with the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit resides in you. And so the Holy Spirit and His power, His ability, is what's enabling you to do what you need to do. That's why Jesus said to the disciples, which is interesting, He says, it's actually a good thing that I leave. Because when I leave, I'm going to send the Holy Spirit. And now, see, there's a physical Jesus and the physical 12. And He says, I am leaving. I'm no longer going to be physically separated, but I'm coming back to live in you in the form of the Holy Spirit. In you. He that is in me works through me. And so this is what Paul is saying. I'm going through all these things basically because of your prayer. And this is important. Prayer is so vital. We got to be praying for one another. We got to be saying, hey, Lord, would you protect the church? Hey, would you grow our church in grace and knowledge? Would you do all these things, Lord? You're giving the Lord permission to work in our lives. We're supporting one another. And so Paul is even saying, because of your prayer and the supply of the Holy Spirit, I am being delivered. Verse 20, according to my earnest expectation and hope that in nothing I shall be ashamed. So Paul is saying, in my situation, I don't want to be ashamed. What does that mean? That's a difficult, it's a difficult question. How is Paul going to be ashamed? So in your trial, in your tribulation, are you standing strong in Christ? Okay? Or are you being defeated? See, one thing I want you to understand, and we've been on this kick lately, and it's been kind of changing some of our thinking, especially through that Revelation study, is that if we see ourselves as the New Testament claims us to be, that's being the church, as the body of Christ, okay? Think about that for a moment. Go back to that physical picture. Jesus is here, and the world is here. He is physically in the body, or in the world, excuse me. His physical body is in the world. Since He went on the cross, and then in Acts, went to heaven, Jesus physically is no longer on the earth. But you're told that you are the body of Christ. So you are taking the place of the physical Christ on earth, in that Christ lives in you, in that the Holy Spirit lives in you, and you are the physical representation of Christ to the world right now, just like He was back then. It might be a little hard to grasp that, but that's who we are. And if you understand that, really kind of, you know, buy into that and really accept that, it gives you power. Because I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. We're going to be told that here in a little bit. Paul just said that I'm able to endure these things because of the Spirit of God. And so you stand in a very different position than anybody else in the history of the world, in that the church is the body of Christ. Now we get to Thessalonians, and it says the Antichrist cannot come on the scene until he who hinders the church, the body of Christ, is taken out of the way. Okay? We are the hindrance to the Antichrist. We're the hindrance to the evil. That should give you power. So now, if you're a believer in Jesus Christ here this morning, understanding that you're the body of Christ, understanding you are filled with His Spirit, understanding that there is no weapon that is formed against you, that nothing can change you, nothing can shake you, nothing, they may kill your body, but they didn't kill your spirit. nothing. The gates of hell will not prevail against you. Are we living in that? Are you living in that today? Are you putting on that armor of God? Are you saying, I can stand chained in this prison to a Roman guard, dealing with this physical situation, this emotional situation, this economical situation? You're the body of Christ. You stand in victory. You have the power of the Spirit in you, working through you. That's what Paul's saying. He's saying, according to my earnest expectation and hope, nothing shall be ashamed. Now, it's interesting because Paul, in this letter, is going to tell the church of Philippians, I'm going to send Timothy to you. So at this current time of the writing, Timothy is with him. So now, do me a favor, flip over to 2 Timothy, because this is crazy. So Timothy now, at this point in time, goes to the church, and then he's writing now a personal letter to Timothy. And you're going to see these two kind of intertwined, because the things he's talking to the church of Philippi, later on he's going to personally address to Timothy as a way of reminder. Go to 2:15. Check this out. This is really great. And this is something for all of us. We know Timothy is the pastor, so a lot of people discard Timothy because they're like, oh, that's the letter to the pastor. It's the letter to the body of Christ. Okay? So be diligent to present yourselves, what? Approved to God. A worker who does not need to be ashamed, right? We go back to Philippians 1:20. According to my earnest expectation and hope, that in nothing I shall be ashamed. So how is he ashamed? How does he avoid that? He rightly divide, back in 2 Timothy, the word of God. Now, verse 16 is great. But shun profound and idle babbling, for they will increase more to ungodliness. I can get up here and teach you all kinds of great stuff, self-motivational stuff, give you a good talking to, rile you all up. Okay? And here's what happens. It's going to lead to ungodliness. Not only that, but check out verse 17. Their message will spread like cancer. The original Hebrew is gangrene. Okay? And then he calls out two people. He says, these guys are doing it. So sometimes people are like, oh, you're calling out people who are doing false teaching. Yeah, so did Paul. Expose them. Don't listen to them. They have strayed concerning the truth, saying that the resurrection is already past, and they overthrow the faith of some. Nevertheless, the solid foundations of God stand, having this seal. The Lord knows those who are His. And let everyone whose name of the Christ depart from iniquity. You workers of iniquity, Matthew 7. So, check this out. This is really cool. I mean, this whole 2 Timothy, we'll get to it at some point. We're going to do Galatians next. We just did Ephesians. We're going to get to Timothy, first and second, two letters. But that's what he's saying. He says, I'm not ashamed. Right? I'm not ashamed. Because I've rightly divided the word of God. And he goes on, he says, it's the word of God that is the absolute truth. And it's the word of God that he is counting on his deliverance for. It's the word of God that's giving him his earnest expectation. It's the word of God that he applies to his life. Therefore, it goes on to say, but with all boldness, we're back in Philippians 1:20, with all boldness as always, also so now Christ will be magnified in my body, whether by life or by death. Let me tell you something, church. Deeds are way more important than words. We run around running this thing. I'm a Christian. God says this. The Bible says this. And they're looking at your life going, but you're shaming yourself. Because you're not living up to what you're saying. That's another form of shame. Shame on you. You say one thing and do another. And that's what Paul is saying. He says, through my deeds, Jesus is magnified. If you are the body of Christ, what's your sole purpose here? To magnify Christ, yeah. You are to do what he did when he was physically on the earth. You mean we're supposed to do miracles? I think so. It's not that we do them. It's God working through us, yeah? But we are to be that representation. And Paul is bringing that. And he's saying the whole purpose of this is to magnify Christ. To show him. To show who he is. To glorify him. To bring people into a knowledge of him. But Paul has a situation. Because Paul's desire is to be with Christ. How many of you today would like to be with Christ? How many of you said, Lord, take me home? Right? Remember Sanford and Son? Every time he'd get worked up, he'd be like, I'm coming home. Sometimes we think that's easier, yeah? Can I tell you? That's great. But it's also selfish. What do you mean it's selfish? Paul says, for me to live is Christ. To as I live, I'm representing Christ. Christ is being brought to the world. I'm doing what Christ wants me to be. By the way, this is the very definition of Christian, which means Christ-like. Remember, deeds are more powerful than words. Do you need to tell people you're a Christian? Shouldn't have to. Let your deeds speak louder than your words. And how do they know that we are Christ's disciples? By our love for who? For one another. Okay? The love, this is a whole new topic. The love for one another. The church should be so strong and supportive of one another that they're looking at the outside going, man, that's an unbreakable group. And they'll try to break us up, right? Spread rumors, spread lies, spread these things to try to break us up. They'll come in to cause division. Think about that. Jesus says that they'll know you for your love for one another. So the enemy's number one tactic is that we would be divided amongst ourselves. And let me tell you something. That just doesn't mean right here. That means also the church down the road. You see, we're all the body of Christ. Okay? And so, the whole other topic of going back to Timothy, well, what if that church down the road doesn't teach? Okay, we don't have no part with them. I'm not saying that. But we're not the only church, and we need to support other churches because we're all the body. And we should be strong. Because they want to cause division. So for me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. You see, also, that means that when I go home, I'm going to be with him. Is that an upgrade? Very much so. But Paul says, verse 22, but if I live on in the flesh, this will mean fruit from my labor. So listen, if you're still consuming oxygen in front of me here today, you still have a job to do. You're still here on this earth to be Christ-like. You're still here to be the representative of Jesus to the world. So stop saying, hey, I'm just waiting. I'm in the waiting room. Right? Like we're waiting for the train to come to take us to heaven. That's what they used to say Florida was, God's waiting room. Got so big that they needed to add Arizona. You still have a purpose. You still have a point in this world. God still needs you. Not only that, but I need you. Your family needs you. For me to go, bonus. But if I go, I leave a void. And God isn't ready for me to leave a void yet. So what's he going to do? He's going to keep me here. Some of you guys have had near-death experiences. And you're thinking, oh, this is it. Here I'm coming. God says, no, you've still got work to do. This is really crazy because in the gun class, we're like, cool, shoot me. I'm good. I'm going to heaven. But your spouse still needs you to be here. Your children still need you to be here. Your grandchildren still need you to be here. Your church still needs you to be here. So for me to say, just take me out, now it becomes a very selfish statement. Yeah? You guys understand the perspective here? Because this is Paul's situation, and it's going to be important for you to understand it, that when we get to chapter 4, you can apply it to your situation, which we're kind of doing right now anyway. See how Philippians built? Paul's situation, having the mind of Christ, knowing Christ, and applying those, Paul's situation, the mind of Christ, and knowing Christ, to now chapter 4, your situation. Your situation. It's interesting because in chapter 4, there's this very interesting word in there. Paul says, for I have learned to be content in all things. And what do we think of when we think of that word content? That's what we think, right? Satisfied, I'm good, right? And it's like, this week I was telling the guys, I was like, man, I'm struggling with that verse because are we to be content with our walk with God? Uh-uh. Are we to be content with our prayer life? Uh-uh. Are we to be content with our knowledge of the Word of God? No. Are we to be content with just saying, well, the Lord's going to take me, he's not using me anymore? Nope. That word content, if you pull up your e-sword and look at it, it means self-sufficient. Whoa. That means I can suffice. I can suffice whether I'm in highs or lows. Why? Because of the previous chapters, knowing Christ, having the mind of Christ, and seeing Paul's situation. This Bible is incredible. And I just got done encouraging the guys downstairs. When I come up here every Sunday and I say, hey, chapter 1, chapter 2, chapter 3, chapter 4, really get that in your brain because it'll give you better understanding of the Bible. And it's not that hard. Understanding. And then I'm understanding how it all places together. And you'll learn to rightly divide the Word of God, so that you're not ashamed. Okay, back to it. But I live on in the flesh. So Paul says, man, it's going to be great to go with God, but I can't because there's still purpose for me here. So as I live on, I will see fruit from my labor. So yesterday, I was going through my greenhouse and looking at my tomato plants. And I'm like, man, there's a lot of green. Not much fruit. So you know what I started to do? Pam comes over, she'll probably be like, oh! I'm like, there's a vine with no fruit, chop, gone. You're consuming energy. Oh, there's another one, this huge vine, not one flower on it, gone. Sometimes, guys, we have a lot of growth, but there's no fruit. And sometimes we got to get rid of that stuff because we can't be content with our walk with God. We need to know Him more. And we need to continue to live and live in the idea that I am the body of Christ. But I don't have to do it alone, right? Understand, it's not on your effort. We're told that. You were given the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit will work through you to do all these things. Paul just said that. Through the prayer of the saints and through the Holy Spirit is why Paul is able to do what he's doing. He doesn't say, well, because I studied at the feet of Gamaliel, I'm a rabbi, I'm super knowledgeable. He didn't say any of that. He says, it's all, Jesus gave it to me all. God gave it to me all. The Holy Spirit gives it to me. And now I'm going to get rid of all these things in my life that there's lots of cool green growth, but there's no fruit. So I need to focus on getting the fruit in. I need to focus on being the body of Christ. He still struggles with this because he goes on. He says, yet what shall I choose? I can't tell. For I am hard-pressed between the two, right? I want to be with Christ, which is far better. Yes, we all agree upon that. Come, Jesus, come. Maybe he'll come through right now. Okay, maybe now. No, that would never happen, by the way, because then I would get the glory. I told you he's coming. Okay, he's not here. Tarry on. Tarry on. Okay? We're getting into an interesting time in our world. I need you to understand this. The book of Thessalonians 1 and 2 is very important to us. Because we are coming upon a time that the Bible says something's going to happen. We are to be the watchmen. Okay? And if you want clear understanding of this, I'd encourage you, if you can't come on Wednesdays, at least listen to it online. Because it'll help you understand where we are in all this and what's going to happen. The timeline of what this is going to look like. Because I know what people say, we're not to know the day or the hour. That's true, but you're told you should know this season. Paul says, don't be ignorant in these things. You should know them. In fact, when Jesus wept over Jerusalem, do you know why he wept? Because they didn't know the time or the season. He was about to enter into Jerusalem as the king, as the Messiah, as the promised lamb that would take away their sins of the world. He was it, and they didn't see him. They didn't recognize it, and it broke his heart. Because they didn't know. And they should have known. Don't be ignorant. And so we're in this interesting time where we can be like, okay, well, it's going to happen any day, so I guess I'm just going to sit down on the couch and wait for the train. Thessalonians says, no, you continue on, you tarry, right? Because if you're the body of Christ and your calling is to reach out, see, we're here, and when the rapture will happen, it's when the time of the Gentiles will be complete. Understand that the time of the Gentiles, okay? The time of the Gentiles. We are Gentiles. Who knows that number? The God the Father. When that number is complete, right? Go get them. Go call them from the earth. And we're told that we will meet him in the clouds. When that happens, he who hinders is taken out of the way. All hell will break loose. Literally, Hades, if that feels better for you. And then the wrath of God. Oh, we hit this on Wednesday. Because in Revelation chapter 5, John is brokenhearted because there's nobody worthy to open up the scroll, the seven seals. Nobody is worthy. And then he looks and he says, wait, one of the elders says, there's one that is worthy. And behold, he is like a lamb. And when you look at the lamb, when John looked at the lamb, he said, it's like a lamb who had been slain. Now, I want you to understand this. Revelation, the seven seals. The sixth seal will open up the seven trumpets. The seven trumpet will open up the seven bowls of wrath. This is God's wrath upon the world. It's his wrath upon the world. And if you've ever read Revelation, it's not good. Not good at all. In fact, if it wasn't for God saying stop, nothing would live. Okay? It's bad. Picture that wrath that was given to the world, or will be given to the world. Understand that very wrath was placed upon Jesus. When he was in the garden and he was sweating sweats of blood, and he was crying, God, let this cup depart from me. Right? Was it because he was afraid of the nails and the cross and the scourging? He was afraid of the wrath of God. For the wages of sin is death. He took that punishment for you. That wrath that will be coming upon the world was laid upon the Lamb for you. You can take the wrath, or you can say, Jesus, you can take it for me. And that's what he did. We're told that he was beaten beyond the point of recognition of a human. Then he was put upon a cross and died for you and me. Understand, the wrath coming to the world was placed upon his son. You can either say, I will take that gift, or I'm going to try to endure it myself. Guys, that's the gospel. That is the gospel. So you're still here to bring people into that. And maybe that one person that you're going to talk to, and that one person that you're going to tell that story to that I just told you now, and they say, man, I receive him. Boom, go get him. So if that's you, hurry up. Because we're like Paul, we're hard pressed. We want to be with him. Nevertheless, verse 24, he understands to remain in the flesh is more needful for you. If you're still here in the flesh, it is needful for you, those around you, for whatever reason. And you might be saying, yeah, but, no, but. If you were done, God would have you home. Well, I'm too weak, I'm too old, I'm too sick, I'm too... No! No, you're still here. He has predetermined your times so that you would grope for him. You have a purpose like Paul. Live in that purpose. Yeah, we have to live in the world. We got bills to pay. We got families to raise. But can you do all of that as the body of Christ, bringing light to the world, bringing salt to the world, bringing the gospel to the world? And again, deeds are what? More important than words. I'm not even telling you have to go out in the corner and hold a sign. I'm not telling you that. I'm not telling you that everybody you see, you got to go and give the gospel to. I'm not telling you that. I'm telling you, live as Christ lived. And then God will open the doors for you to talk. Be the example. Because while you're still here, there is a purpose for you. Verse 25, and this being confident, I know that I shall remain and continue with you for all your progress and joy of the faith. There's blessing in that. That your rejoicing for me may be more abundant in Jesus Christ by me coming to you again. Paul didn't know what was going to happen. He didn't know. He thought maybe he's going to get released and he would go see the church. That was his expectation. God had different plans. But check this out. We have a letter that's still benefiting us today, some 2,000 years later. Because of Paul being chained in a Roman prison. Do you think Paul knew that? Do you think Paul's letter would be read by a little church in Elizabeth, Colorado today, encouraging us? His ways aren't your ways, guys. Just have faith. Keep doing what you're doing. Press forward to that goal. Whatever you're going through, how can you know God more in it? Because God's in the mix with it. God's in that trial. God's in that tribulation. God's in that testing. God's in that rejoicing. It's not all about trials and tribulations, right? We have highs and lows. God's in it all. What's the takeaway for today? You're here for a purpose. And if you're still here for a purpose. Deeds are more important than words. Understand who you are. You're the body of Christ. You have been filled and empowered by His Spirit. Therefore, there is nothing I can do, because it's all done through Him. Even if it seems like my efforts are falling down flat, God's going to look at you and say, "Well done, my good and faithful servant." We all have a mission. We all have a purpose. And I'm going to talk about the purpose-driven life. You want a book on the purpose-driven life? Philippians. You don't need that other stuff, guys. Come on, let's go to the source. Let's go. Let's be masters of this word. Let's be divine workmen, not ashamed. Let's understand what Jesus did for you and walk in that. It's all about Him. Amen. So if that's understanding new to you and you want to be baptized in that, cool, let's do it. Should encourage you to come to prayer tonight. I understand things happen. No condemnation. But as these times get crazier and crazier, we need to get tighter and tighter. Right? We need to support one another. Lord, we thank You for Your word. Lord, we ask that Your word would just be planted deep inside of us, Lord. That it would sprout, take root, and grow. Produce fruit. Lord, let us not be a hearer only of Your information, but as we're told, let us go be doers. Take the information that we receive today and apply it. Lord, I ask that You would just speak to each and every one of us. Just give us one thing to do today that we can take from Your word and apply it to our lives. Not looking for big leaps of faith, Lord. You're just looking for little steps. Because it's the little steps of faith that add up. And every time we take a little step of faith, our faith grows. And it gives us more opportunity to be faithful in our faith. If you're here today and never heard the gospel really presented that way, that He took the wrath of God on your behalf, and you never really heard it that way, but now you hear it and you receive it and you understand it, because we're told that He died on the behalf of the entire world. How do I receive His wrath placed upon Jesus and not placed upon me? We're told that if we believe that Jesus is God and that He took my sins, He took the punishment of my sins upon that cross. And you say in your heart, you say to God, "I believe. I believe Jesus died for me. I repent of my sins. I give them to him. I believe he was put in the grave, that he died, and that on the third day he rose again, and I receive him this very hour as my Lord and my Savior. The Bible says you are saved. You have escaped judgment, and you are now part of the body. Lord, I thank you for that. Thank you for moving mightily in your church today. Lord, we continue to pray for the church. We pray, Lord, that the Spirit would flow through us, would empower us, and that we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. Lord, we rejoice in this. And it's to your name, to your glory, we all say, Amen. Amen.